Yeah, g'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. Hasn't been around for a little while, but we're back. Okay, it's episode 98. It is the 1st of the 10th October. It's been 3 months since our last episode.
Yeah, every week it's like, Cap, you busy? Yeah, I'm free. Let's do Monday night. We get to like Friday and it's like, nah, Cap, I'm sorry.
Can't do it.
Doesn't happen. Too much. Things
just come up. And then we like figure out another day, and then I'm like, oh, like I've got to do some shit for work or something happens. Basically, shit's fucking hard. So I think we'll just fucking barrel straight into it, Grizz. Basically, unfortunately, we've decided collaboratively that this is going to be our third last episode. We're going to make it to 100. But, yeah, it's just getting really difficult for both of us. I mean, I'm just going to say from my side. It's like it's on all areas, family, work, the fucking rest of it. And I just don't have fucking time anymore, you know?
Well,
and I know you're the same, Chris.
Looking back, mate, when we started this beast, our lives were completely different. What was it, 2 years ago, Cap? 2 years ago. Was it 3 years ago?
It would have been about two or so, I reckon.
Two years ago, almost two bit years.
Yep.
And I looked back at myself 2 years ago, Cap, and my job was nice and cruisy and easy. I'd go away and I'd dive for a little bit, and I'd come back and I'd have a bit of free time. These days, mate, it's just not the same. I just haven't got that spare time to throw at it. So
I'm the same, man. Like, you know, when I first started my job, I had way less responsibility than I do. Like, literally, way less. Like, way, way, way less. Like, my job now is just like guns blazing every day, and then I come home and, man, I just want to lie in bed. I've got to be honest.
By the way, so you are gaming in bed a little bit, Cap, with your VR goggles on, mate?
I mean, we'll get to that in the how's he gaming.
We'll get to
going.
That, okay.
Because, you know, I'm doing a little bit of game, but it's probably another part of this, Grizz, is like my gaming habits are so different these days. Like, I don't consume games in the way that I feel like I can adequately talk about them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I have the same kind of insight that I used to have, and I can't keep on top of it either.
Well, I feel like I've been that way for longer, and you've carried this podcast for quite some time now, whereas you would know every fucking game inside and out, every little fact, and I'm just here just, you know, talking shit. So I know what it's like, mate. I understand. Yeah, it is sad. Look, it is a sad day, guys, but you know what? So we've got two more episodes to go. We'll make it to 100 and then we'll call it quits. We still, as far as we know, have our other podcast, Cap, that's happening under the OGR banner. They'll probably continue to fly the flag unless we hear otherwise. Yeah.
This will be getting wound down. But I think what the plan will probably be is, look, being realistic, you'll probably get another episode in a month's time. I doubt we'll be able to get one banged out in a fortnight like we've been trying to, but we'll probably get one, November, and I think we'll probably do like our classic, you know, end of the year, favorite games of 2024, all the rest of it, you know, the Ogies awards.
Oh, the Ogies. Got to finish with the Maybe we'll get Pav in for the Ogies.
That's what I think. Nice. I reckon, you know, we'll see if Pav's floating around and if he's keen to get involved, we'll do the Ogies together and have a bit of fun with it. But yeah, it's just how it is. So sorry that that's how we started the episode. But I mean, it's the best time to kind of explain that this is what's going on because, you know, in terms of retention and how when people generally fall off episodes, I mean, they're most likely going to listen at the beginning.
So, and you know, we'll let you know, people are also feel like people are continuing to pay for Patreon and things, so we might as well be upfront and honest and spell that out.
I'm going to try and turn those off if I can, or at least, you know, let you guys know now so you can do it, and then we will try and flick them off ourselves. So, basically, you know, you're not getting your money's worth, and that's, you know, fair. So I don't blame you. I don't bloody blame you. But we do appreciate all those bloody legends. So, we'll get into housekeeping rules. But, Grizz, how's your last 3 months been?
Dude, fuck. It's just crazy, Cap. I don't know. Has it been really been 3 months? Is that how long it's been?
I think, I looked on Spotify. Our last episode was the 23rd of July.
I think the highlight for me in the last 3 months, Cap, outside of family time is the Dota 2 International. weekend yeah. that we had. We shared some yep. time together.
Yeah, we did. It was fucking awesome.
It was freaking awesome. So I'm sure people listening to this podcast are probably aware that the annual Dota 2 International event occurred, and we organized a little trip for a bunch of mates. We booked this beautiful house on the riverside down near Mandra kind of way. And there was, what, 10 of us, Cap? And we just had an excuse yeah. to drink a heap of beers and watch some Dota and play yeah. some Dota. And
it was so good. We took our PCs. Did you say we take a not a mistake?
I didn't, but we did.
We took our PCs. We played Dota. We hung out, watched Dota. One of the guys there is like he's a chef. And so he and another mate who is just a literal epic chef. They both cook some amazing meals.
Dude, how good was the yeah. food? Holy shit.
Fuck. Oh my God. So good. You know, like we had like a, what do we have the first night? It was like a roast brisket, not brisket, but you know, that kind of thing with sides, and it was just unreal. And then the next time we have this like insane ragu, and it was just like, you know, yeah, eating like kings. And and yeah, it was just such good vibes. And you know, we're kind of just cruising around this house all day, and me and Grizz drunk like, I don't know, like a billion freaking mojitos.
Man, I was fucking hungover for a week after yeah, the dude, session.
I felt was, like it shit was not good. When I got home. Like absolute shit. So
it was good though. Yeah, no, highlights of that, we did a magic draft as well. So we bought a box of magic cards yeah. and
Grizzly creamed it. Grizzly freaking creamed it.
I did create a very good deck. I don't know. I think I got quite lucky. Quite lucky on that. It was good. But your deck did quite well as well, Cap. You were wasn't too holding bad. Your own.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was all right. I think I probably could have teased the mana a little bit, and you know, not starve myself so much. But it's always the way you kind of think you've done all right, and then you go. Actually,
that set was very interesting, Cap, because they encouraged you to go tricolor. So
yeah.
the set that we drafted had a heap of multicolors in it, and a lot of the multicolors, well, most of them, maybe all of them, Cap, were tricolor multis.
Yeah.
So a lot of the decks people were drafting were tricolor, which means, you know, you're trying to get the colors you want. It's more than likely someone else is trying to draft the same color. But
the mana economy for tricolor decks pretty tough, like especially if I play fuck all magic, so you know, trying to like you kind of want more ways to get the mana you need outside of just drawing mana, because you need to kind of be able to kind of find what you need, you know what I mean? So
and they did a pretty good job at putting cards in there to allow you to do that in the set, like search your deck for certain color cards. But if you weren't actively looking for those in the draft, it's kind of like after the fact, not knowing you needed those, and then you'd be kind of fucked.
Did you see that they've released a new set recently?
No, I haven't. What is it?
They've got a new one called Duskmourne, House of Horror, and that's kind of the whole theme is like, you know, classic kind of scary shit, you know? So I jumped on the MTG Arena and opened my three packs, and everything's kind of like, you know, clowns and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Is it pretty good? Cool, do you like it? Because I was playing the other one that was on MTG Arena, which is the Bloomburrow, which is like all there's like, I don't know, it's kind of like animals, like rats and mice and
ferrets. It's a bit like a Gone with the Wind or whatever it's called vibe to it. I thought it was a bit fucking lame, to be honest.
Did you? What? As in Bloomburrow was a bit lame?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually quite liked it, man, because I can see what you mean. Yeah, Gone with the Wind. Yeah, see, I had a bunny deck, like a rabbit deck that just was like proliferate your fucking bunnies and just get shitloads of them. And then you get those cards that just buff them up.
That's quite funny. I love how it's like rabbit deck's like the new fucking goblin deck, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
Just cheese them. Bang them out.
But, yeah. Tell me about the rest of your months. Like, you've been gigging.
I've been playing a lot of music, Cap, a lot of music still. So this weekend, I've got a double gig weekend this weekend. Two really fun ones, mate. I'm doing Silverchair Tribute into an Offspring Tribute Friday and Saturday night. So they're taking a bit more time. But I've also been away for work a little bit, Cap. I fly out Thursday next week for 5 days out to the Asset, and going to be out there for a little bit. But look, mate, all just normal – life things, really. My kids are on school holidays now, so that's pretty cool. Been doing stuff with them during the day when I'm working from home and other bits and pieces. We had a really nice weather day today, Cap. Tomorrow it's turning to shit, apparently. So,
yeah, it's freaking all over the shop, isn't it? It's like, just can't make his mind up. It's like
we're between seasons here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of are, but I feel like normally by now the season's kind of picked a lane, but we've kind of, it's like, oh, I'm going to get warm. Now I'm going cold again. I'm going to get warm again. Oh, now I'm going to get cold. It's like being bloody teasing us.
Now, Cap, in amongst all that, I have been doing some gaming. I don't know whether you're aware of my gaming, so I'm pretty keen to let you know what I've been doing once we get down to the
I'm freaking keen to explore that with you, mate. Mm. Very freaking keen. Well, maybe I'll
I'm also pretty keen to discuss your fail on the gaming front, which we had a bit of a giggle about in the pre-show, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to discussing why I'm a bloody idiot and I guess just where my brain is at the moment is probably a good way just to, like, you know, emphasize like how my brain just does not have time for anything outside of family and work and maybe a touch of gaming at the moment.
Well, enough about me, Cap. What about you, mate? Give me the last 3 months in a summary, if you can.
Well, last 3 months. Look, work's been hectic. That never seems to be any different for me. You know, I feel like I say every single bloody podcast, but I mean, I was kind of talking to you before, Grizz. I'm kind of at a stage now where I have to just kind of push back and be like, I literally just can't, like, you know, and then like, I'm always kind of playing priorities as well. So it's hard because there's so many things that like need to get done. And then you kind of just got to go, well, realistically, what really needs to be done? Do I have time to do it? So it's been full on, but I've been really enjoying it. So there's some big cool stuff that we're doing at work at the moment, and that's been really fun to work on. So I'm really loving
getting to code. Are you getting to code much, Cap? Are you coding?
Yeah, still doing a bit of coding, but a lot of the stuff that we do is like, so the platform I work in is less traditional code, and it's like all this like low code stuff. It's a lot of like building workflows. You might be familiar with it, but it's kind of like Power Automate. So
this is where I wish I was born a little bit later, because my kids have learned, all three of them have learned how to code through school, different digital technology and other bits and pieces. But no, I literally have zero. I have no idea. Apart from doing some very, very crude game dev coding stuff.
Yeah.
On, I can't remember what platform I was using, but not across it.
Yeah, I do a little bit of traditional coding here and there, but it's not a big part of my job, just because of the platform we use, basically. But if certain projects come to fruition, I'll be doing a lot more traditional programming, which I'm quite excited for because I miss it. But I have been doing. I've got a little side project going that I'm not really willing to discuss over the air. But I am doing some traditional programming with that, and working with a friend on something. So I might tell you about it off the air, and everyone at home is going to go, "Oh yeah, you can't talk about it." But yeah, I literally just don't want to, because it's a fucking good idea, and it's actually gaming adjacent. So I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
So I've been doing a bit of that, and then a little bit of gaming here and there, nothing major. I've been playing a little bit of D&D here and there, fairly ad hoc, with a group that Adrian/Redweird, who's been on the show before, been playing a campaign with him and a couple
DMing
of shared mates.
Dude?
No, we've got another mate who's DMing it, and yeah,
because
your
DM
story.
Like, I've seen all the tools and stuff you use, but they look fucking awesome, man. Like the
dude,
the props and stuff.
It's actually insane. So he has built these modular bases that basically are built out of squares, and so it's like tiles, and the tiles kind of look like cobblestones or whatever. And then, so each one of those is like 5 meters within the 5e rule set. And then he's built all like walls and stuff and like pieces of, you know, architecture and shit. So he can build
like
things.
I saw one, there was a carpet. He had like a bear carpet thing.
Yeah, so we got another mate who's got a 3D printer, and he just prints all this shit for the campaign.
Oh,
so we had this massive bar fight, and He built a bar, and I can't explain to you, like, how epic it is, because, like, he built all these tiny little miniature mugs that were, like, in comparison to our characters and stuff.
That would actually change the way you play the game when it's like that, because, you can use improvised weapons and stuff in those bar fights for D&D, and I'm sure, like, you can probably imagine picking up certain things and fucking doing stuff. That's cool, man.
It's freaking cool. So I'm playing a monk, and that's been a lot of fun. Yeah, so it's been good. The only issue is, like, I'm kind of starved of agility, because, like, you use agility for your, to hit and everything. So I went too hard on wisdom, which is not a bad thing, but it's kind of
what level?
I miss a lot.
What level is your character?
Level 5.
So you've unlocked your school, is that right?
Yes. So I used a, because there's a few different, like, books you can include. And so our DM was like, yeah, just go wild. And so I've got this one called, like, Ascendant Dragon or some shit. And any damage I deal, I can change the type of damage it is to any elemental damage and choose the school. Mm-hmm. And then I can also do this thing where on hit, I can choose to, like, basically fire out, instead of doing, like, a standard hit, it fires, like, a line or a cone of damage out from beyond the target. So
does that use key points to be able to do that? Is that that's pretty cool, man. I like that.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah, and so I played my last Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough was one of those monk playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very fun. Yeah. So do they all get that multi attack, don't they? What's that, kind of what it's called? The
Flurry or whatever?
Flurry, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Flurry of Blows, I think.
Flurry of Blows, yeah.
But, yeah, so you can spend a key to get an extra, like, attack.
Are you unarmed, Cap?
I am unarmed.
Fighting with your fists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which I don't know how good that is. Like, it feels like shit sometimes because I got the other guys in the campaign. Oh, my God.
I think you can, like, cheese those mug builds. You can get, like, Tavern Brawler where your unarmed strikes. It's a feat, your unarmed strikes. Apply your strength modifier, and then you can try to put points into strength, and then you're fucking cheesing them.
I think there is
some really good unarmed feats that you can get.
Yeah, well, I took this one called Crusher, which gave me some extra agility, which helped a little bit. But then also, I get the ability to on hit to shift characters to an adjacent thing.
That's cool.
Which is amazing because, like, there's instances where you can shift them into, like, I mean, depending on how fucking bold you're feeling, stand next to, like, a chasm, you could shift them into empty space and then drop them off chasms and stuff. So I haven't done it yet, but it'll be pretty cool. Anyway, it's been doing a bit of D&D. I had my birthday in July, which was a little bit after that last episode. So,
fuck, it was my birthday last week, dude, too. I forgot to say that.
Yeah, it was your birthday as well. Like, we both had our birthdays since. So, Jesus. Not that I did an awful lot. It was just kind of like, just had it, basically. But yeah, other than that, like, life's been going really good. Mia's going really well. Ted's going really well. Life's just good, you know? I'm still kind of on the weight, like, train and losing
Big
weight.
Big T's birthday coming gym. Up, Cap.
Big T's birthday on
I haven't
Thursday.
Told you this yet, mate. I need to... You got a party for him on the weekend, right? I need to make a decision because it's also my niece's birthday party the same day. So
it's all good,
I'll be
man.
At one of those, mate, but good. I'll let you know what I plan, what I
look,
end up
mate,
doing.
Whatever happens, happens. I won't hold it against you. It's fine. Perfectly fine. Whatever. What are you going to do? But yeah, so... Other than that, basically weight loss and gym's been going really well. Kind of pretty stable at the moment, but fairly consistent with my gym. This week's going to be a bit fucked because that's the other part of like needing to kind of let go of the podcasting is like those nights are like so important because that's when I go to the gym these days. It's like after work. So like this week I probably won't get a chance to go to the gym at all because – I've just got something on every night, basically. So, but that's just how it goes, you know. So,
are you working out at night, Cap? Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah,
it's just, after the days, though.
Yeah, I mean, I am too, but I just don't really have time to do it first thing in the morning. My gym doesn't open up early enough, so and then I've got to drop Ted off at daycare, and then I'm at work, and then I come home. So the first thing I do is I drop Ted off, Ted and Mia off, and then I just go straight to the gym, and then I'm home by about 6:30. So it's not too bad, but you know, still afternoon, you're pretty cooked, but you know, you just got to squeeze it in wherever you can. So, other than that, it's about everything. And we've been talking for like 20 minutes about this shit, so we better fucking scoot along.
Well, it's been 3 months, mate. You know, we've got to fucking catch up.
got a bit of catching up to do. But look, let's dive straight in. Firstly, just want to say a big thanks to our wonderful listeners. You guys rock. You can catch this podcast on all podcasting platforms for the next 3 episodes before we go dark. You know, frigging radio silent.
Decommission.
So, yeah, you know, keep up to date. And then just want to say a big thank you to our wonderful Patreons. You know, they are the legendary listeners that come out every month and drop a few cashollas in our pockets, you know, soon to be no more. But just want to say we bloody appreciate everything you guys have done thus far, and it's really helped sort of keep the boat moving. And, yeah, look, it's, you know, there's been costs involved with this bloody thing, you know. So, yeah, we really appreciate it. They are these wonderful people. I'm a Sukai, Moosey, Caging Runt, Lee, J-Libs, Bryn, Strops, and Slatos. Legends. Appreciate you guys. All right.
Champions.
I guess I should probably play the fucking next thing, which I need to find. It's been a while since I've done this, Chris. Quest log. We've got a quest log, don't we? You know, click this button. Hopefully it plays. Let's see what happens. There we go. Well, it's been a fair bit that's happened the last 3 months. Well, we kind of just kept adding to this over and over again. And yeah, it was just like a bunch of fucking random shit.
We fucking did intend to do what we did, Kat. We had the best intentions, but
we made the fucking run sheet. We made it. The plan was there.
We had it.
So anyways, look, we'll start from the top. The most recent thing that's happened, and I added this today because it wasn't in there. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Pat's fault. We had a PlayStation State of Play. Can you believe it? We did. Yep. That was September. And there was a lot of things that came out. So I'm just going to pretty much read through the entire document, Grizz, and you can just chime in as we go.
Pav's here. Fuck you, Pav.
Pav, you legend. Pav, we're going to have you on the last episode. It's going to be in December sometime, right? So make sure you got time to do that.
Christmas Eve.
We got the Ogies again. It'll be the final episode. We're all going to dress up in suits. Maybe we'll do that.
Whoever
live
wins the Ogies, wait, wins? There's no winning Ogies, is there? Can you win the Ogies, or is that our? No, that's the Game of the Year award, isn't it?
We could probably win it. Yeah, I mean, OGR's going to win Best Podcast, obviously. So you know, self title, but still. All right, Grizz, Astrobot. So, dude, actually, it's a game we haven't spoken about, and I just really want to play it, but I just haven't. I haven't had the time again to play games, so. I haven't had a chance to play it, but apparently Astrobot is freaking wicked, man.
Is it good? I knew it'd be good, dude. Because the fucking Astrobot game on PlayStation on the console was good.
Yeah. No, it just looks like a real solid platformer, and it's just punching really well. Kind of, you know, well and truly competes with kind of like, I guess, that Mario-esque kind of, you know, thing, and it just looks really bloody good.
Platformer.
Creative platformer, exactly. So they've got a free DLC, I believe, that's coming out, which will bring new speedrun levels and 10 new special bots to rescue from this fall. So the bots being, you know, generally PlayStation characters or from other games, franchises. You know, they've got the Bloodborne guy in there. They've got freaking Kratos. They've got... you know, who else is worth talking about? Other fucking characters.
Bloodborne. I'm pretty sure the Bloodborne guy's in there.
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, did you? Fuck.
Yeah.
Well, Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne. I don't know if you've seen the memes, but like everyone's saying this is Bloodborne 2, basically, because it's the only thing we're going to fucking get. That.
The only time, only way you're going to get Bloodborne on PS5 in a remastered 60 frames per second is through Astrobot.
Exactly. So, look, you know, it still looks pretty good. So, anyways, I mean, we're going to get a DLC, which I think is pretty freaking neat. Now, the next thing that was announced, Grizz, was the next Ghost of, I'm going to say Ghost of Tsushima 2, but it's a brand new title. We'll get to that in a second. Anyways, the second iteration of Ghost of Tsushima was announced. And I don't know if you're, did you play the first one, Grizz?
No, I haven't played it, dude. Even though you told me how fucking sick it was.
Dude. Oh my God. It is so good. It, like, just cinematic freaking beauty. And just a really well put together open world. Never finished it because I don't finish many games. But wow. What a game. Anyways, they've got the next one called Ghosts of Yotai. And this features a new protagonist. And I kind
of
like that.
They didn't go with Ghosts of Tsushima number 2 cap. They've just named it something different. Now, is it still set in the same universe / time period cap, or is it a little bit off,
a bit
off
later after the, so it's a bit after the first game. I don't know exactly how far. I imagine reasonably far. So the first game takes place around about the time that the Mongols were kind of making their way through Asia and wherever else. This game has flintlock rifles in it, which would suggest to me it's significantly further along in the timeline. So that's thing that happens in the trailer is towards the end you see that the new protagonist, who is a female, by the way, awesome, fires a gun. And so, there's obviously some some different stuff there. She basically looks like they're, I don't know, maybe like a Blade for Hire kind of, but I couldn't quite tell what the whole kind of, you know, what they're kind of doing in the trailer. So, but there's a moment where they're talking to a wolf or some shit. And so I know in the first game there was some parts along the way where, you know, you kind of breached into the mythology, kind of Japanese mythology realm. And so obviously I think they might be addressing that a little bit in this game, which would be great because, there's some interesting stuff that came out with the original Ghost game where you could then – they released a patch that basically enabled multiplayer. Part of that was doing, like, raids with multiplayer and mythological raids.
Dang. So are we going to see this out of the box for this second one, Cap, do you think? We'll see multiplayer.
Well, I think realistically – if you have put that in your original game, I mean, albeit through a patch, I would imagine that you would probably make that the minimum bar for your next game, but I guess we'll see, right? So,
I guess you've probably done most of the hard work in terms of coding and stuff to make it happen. But let's just
even just designing it, you know?
I know that you were very impressed, Cap, with the polishedness, even though it's not a word, of Ghost of Tsushima out of the box. It looked pretty. Had some cool mechanics. This is obviously a PS5 release, so we're going to see it release on that hardware. I know we've spoken about this a long time ago and before, but talking about making games so that they can run on older generations of the PlayStation, do you think this will skip that and give us something that's dramatically more beautiful and pretty to enable just to run on the PlayStation 5?
Look, I don't know for sure, but it does say coming to PS5 next year, which kind of implies to me maybe it's not coming to PS4 at all.
See, I like that.
So, I don't know. They tend to be fairly, like, coming to PS4, PS5 these days. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping that probably not. But
Has Ghost of Tsushima got a PC release, Cap?
It does. Yeah, it received a PC release probably a few months back, and it was just after Helldivers came out. It was probably a month or so after Helldivers came out, which was earlier in the year. So, but either way, I think this looks amazing, and it's, you know, we kind of heard rumors that we knew that they were working on another Ghost game and whatnot, but rumors kind of came out. One thing that happened around the same time, Grizz, and I mean, it started a lot of shit talking and stirring, but before, actually, so the timeline of events was the State of Play was announced, and that was announced, you know, maybe a week before the actual date of the State of Play or whatever. And then the day before the State of Play happened, Ubisoft basically cancelled all of their pre-release stuff for Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is another Assassin's Creed game, but it's set in Japan. Trailers that came out were kind of open to mixed kind of feedback from and criticism from watchers and viewers. Anyways, so the kind of general consensus was that somehow they found out about, you know, I guess Ghosts of Yotei, and Ghosts of Yotei looks fucking awesome and is the game set in Japan. And they were kind of like, we're going to get compared to this game and it's going to suck, and we need to basically put this back into the furnace for a bit more time. So they've since, after pulling all that down, they've then said that the game is going to be delayed until, I think, early next year. So it's going to give it another few months just to polish it up. But
it's really interesting, that decision, Cap, because, you know, you think about Horizon Forbidden West, or both Horizon games, for example. I feel like they both knew they were coming up against the Elden Ring game, and Baldur's Gate 3, the decision was made somewhere there to just go, nah, we're just going to release it. We're proud of it.
Yep.
We believe in it. But to see Assassin's Creed devs pull back, potentially based on that decision, maybe they haven't got faith in it, Cap. Maybe they're
questioning
themselves a bit.
There's a lot of shit going on at Ubisoft, and, like, you know, they've had, like, a few games really not perform very well, like Skull and Bones just did not perform well.
It was bad, wasn't it?
You know, the more recent Star Wars Outlaws game has been, you know, some people are having fun with it, but it seems like the general consensus is that game is kind of pretty shit and just not fun. So, you know, they've had some pretty poor releases recently, and I think the CEO was recently noted saying, you know, AAA games are held to, like, a much higher standard, or they have to be better than they used to have to be, basically, which is, I find that quite a hilarious statement to make. Because,
I saw this on, like, Twitter.
Mm. Yeah. And, like, the implication there is that, I can't remember exactly how they word it. It was like, they can't be mediocre anymore.
It was blaming it also on the consumer, saying that, because we have we're only going to play these amazing games that are, you know, fit for us, where something can be developed that looks amazing and great, but we're not going to play it. But then someone commented on this tweet, Cap, and said, it was like, and put a clip of Vampire Survivors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was
100%.
Like,
and that game's huge. This is the thing, is, like, I think, and we've spoken about it a few times, but, you know, these projects just become so bloated, and, you know, there's just so many leeches attached to this big kind of, like, corporate ball of, you know, artistic design, and it just fails, like, more often than not these days, because they can't get their shit together within that defined period of time anymore. And, you know, Ubisoft is really, I think, really suffering. Like, their stock prices are the lowest it's ever been in a very long time, and you know, it's not looking pretty good. So I think you know, they rely so heavily on Assassin's Creed as well in their, you know, release, and it's probably like their one vessel that they consider to be a fairly sure bet. And I think they're just really worried that they don't want to rock that boat too hard. And I think, you know, Ghosts of Yotei.
Have they had one that has hit cap in recent times? Has there been, you know, I don't know, Valhalla was claimed as just being too bloaty, too much, not enough.
Look,
too much.
I think the last, like, universally well received one was Odyssey, but even then, I think that was bloated, like, as fuck. I think ever since they shifted to the whole RPG-ified Assassin's Creed stuff, like, it's just been like the classic Ubisoft checklist, like, open world checklist, tick the box, fucking, you know, RPG bloat fest. I think they're pretty fucking horrible these days. I used to love the Assassin's Creed franchise, and the turning point for me was Origins, and that was the one set in Egypt, and it just took the nuance out of the story for me, and it took out the, I know that a lot of people felt like the back in time narrative against the, you know, assassins and Templars in the current day thing, you know, that was kind of getting a little bit tired, and I kind of agree, but at least those games seem to be a bit more about, like, hey, we're going to go back to a point in time and explore some events that happened around that time, whereas now it just feels like this really weird mishmash of, like, oh, we're kind of going to tell a story about, like, maybe some things that kind of happen, and we'll kind of touch on shit, but then also we're going to have like mythology shit randomly going on now, and things just kind of don't really make any sense anymore. And then again, we've got all this weird RPG systems that just don't really make you feel like an assassin anymore, because you have to level your guy up, and it's just all this bullshit. Where, as in the early games, you could be an assassin. I know.
It's not Assassin's Creed anymore. It's fucking, what is it?
Yeah. It's just lost its identity, I think. It really has.
Yeah. Look, I played the original first couple, and the original one being where you were like, it was almost like a science fiction game to me, dude. You'd like enter these memories and go play people from history and see how their life played out. And I found that, I remember my dad was watching over my shoulder, and he was like quite intrigued in the story. He was like, and I don't know. I feel like it never really captured me again. I did jump in and play, I think, Black Flag, because I loved the look of the water in that game. And I was like, this is fucking cool, man.
I mean, Black Flag was a cracker as well. I mean, and that was kind of like number four, I guess, because that came out after number three, I believe. But as soon as they started the RPG stuff. Anyways, as a little side quest there, I think things at Ubisoft are looking really fucking grim, basically. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens to that company in the next 5 years. Big time.
Yep.
All right, moving along, Grizz. Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a remaster. Dude, when did that freaking game come out?
Dude, Horizon Zero Dawn came out in... dude, isn't it?
I mean, it's on PC.
What are they remastering?
It came out in 2017.
What are they remastering? What are we getting?
I don't know.
Takes full advantage of the PS5's power and features. Now, Cap, we know now, and I think it's in the run sheet, maybe, but a PS5 Pro is coming. Is this stuff coming through? Yes.
I think partially, yeah. I think it's just kind of leveraging this new PS5 and I mean, we'll have a bit more of a chat about the whole idea of a new PS5 because, I mean, in all honesty, I think it's a big load of shit, but it's kind of just more reasons to buy that PS5 Pro or just kind of give people this sense of FOMO, I think, and being like, oh, I have to have the brand new PS5 to play this, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn game that I never even finished the first time in the remastered mode because, you know, that's really important. So I don't know. It's...
I mean, the first one was fucking great, dude, from what I played. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it probably deserved a lot more acclaim than what they received, but that was partly because they released these games just at a bad time.
Yeah, so I think Horizon Zero Dawn came out at the same time as Breath of the Wild, from memory.
That's right, it did, I think. Yeah.
But yeah, look, I mean, this is going to be coming out with, a host of technological improvements, visual enhancement, upgraded features, also includes the Frozen Wilds content, a vast expansion featuring yada yada blah 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 blah. Now, I mean, is this a paid thing or what's the go? So, okay, hang on. For existing owners, you can upgrade to the digital version of the remaster for $9.99. I mean, that's not bad in my opinion. That's PC good, as well.
Dude. You know, that might get you to replay that game if you've played it before, maybe, knowing that you get a remastered version. Give it a whirl.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that. I'm glad that we don't have to like buy a brand new freaking game. But for 10, I mean, that's USD. So I mean, what's that like 15, 16 bucks? So and look, that's for Steam as well. So if you bought the game, if you bought the original kind of because they released it on PC, if you buy the upgrade, it'll cost you roughly that much. So yeah, that's okay. Is what it is. I mean, I think, you know, because Forbidden West came out and that was, you know, obviously a reasonable kind of tick along in terms of the graphical kind of sense. Yeah. So,
yeah. Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. So, anyways, there you bloody go. Now, they also mentioned that you're going to have the option to pre-order Horizon Adventures, which is the Lego thing that they're doing, which is bloody wild. So there you go. So the PS5 Pro is launching on November 7th, which is about a month away. They're adding a big list of shit that you can do on that in terms of like enhanced games, I believe. So Have they got a list of all this stuff? No, it's just a bunch of like, it's funny. Oh man, this is another thing that just pisses me off. They've had like all these fucking CEOs and technical directors and people just like have like, they've got this blog post about the PS5 Pro and it's just all these fucking boffins talking about, you know, how good the PS5 Pro is going to be. And it's like, get off it, mate. It, like, just make good games for the current thing that still is. It's like only halfway through the freaking parent like generation, you know?
And how much is it going to cost, Cap? It's like over a grand, isn't it?
$1 billion
or something?
Yeah, you're going to have to be Elon Musk to afford one of these things. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Just buy a PC for that money.
But what are we getting, Cap? This PS5 Pro, what is it? Do we actually know the specs? What does it say here?
Well, where are we? Shall we just dive into it and then we'll quickly dive back out? Hang on.
Sure.
Una momento, per favor. Do I have the stats here? Probably. Probably, maybe not. Wait, do I? What the frick, Chris? I swear I did.
Well, I've got what they are, but yeah. I don't know how to compare it to the current PS5 because
right.
I haven't got that.
$699. What's that?
What is it, like a grand?
$699 USD to a... And yeah, I mean, this is without even thinking about taxes, right? So that's $1,000, $1,012, 13 Australian cents. And I would estimate with import tax and all the rest of it, you'd be at least looking at $1,100 to $1,200, which is a lot of money for a console. I don't know. Like, is that a lot of money? I can't even remember what the original one was.
I think it was about $1,000 for the original one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Like Llama.
Whoa. Did you guys lose Cap? Can't hear you, Cap.
Sorry.
Reason.
Yeah, I'd actually tap my don't talk button. Yeah, Llama in chat is saying $1.3 Australian grand dollars potentially, geez. Which, man, that's a lot of spondoolies. That's a lot.
That's a couple of bucks.
Yeah, freaking yikes. And may I say, it doesn't even have a disk drive.
So yikes. The CPU is the same as the PS5, Cap.
Yeah.
So is the SSD speed, but the GPU has a 67% more computing cores. And 28% faster RAM with 45% faster rendering. So,
yeah.
Some GPU
thing
upgrades.
Yeah. See, the other part of all this is, Grizz, like, a lot of games just won't make the most out of it anyway. And, like, when they tell you these numbers as well, it's like, you know, the cores and all this other shit, it's like there's also, like, other bottlenecks that just basically will mean that your system doesn't work at 68%, it's not going to be 68% better. I'll tell you that much for free. you'd be very lucky to even get close to that. And again, the other part of this is like a lot of these games need to be basically retrofitted to make the most out of it anyway. So, you know, and a lot of, I don't know. I think it's all a big load of shit.
So Jim's also said not having a disk drive annoys me. I believe it's like an extra $160 for a disk drive. But someone else I spoke to today at work was whinging about this as well, Jim, because they also are they like to have the physical, you know, take the CD out of the box, put it in the machine.
Yeah, look,
it's weird how that is now an aftermarket thing that you've got to get in your consoles. It's not like a standard, we come with a disk drive thing.
I think, like, I care less and less about that these days, but I do totally, like, support maintaining those drives because I think a lot of people do like to have them, right? Especially when people are buying collector's editions or the rest of it. I mean, realistically, like, I couldn't even tell you the last time I bought a CD. I think the last time I did that was probably Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And, man, that game was fucking mid. It was pretty average. Played a lot of it. But, God, looking back on it, I'm like, yeah. Anyways, that's probably enough.
Yeah, look, I used to have all my shit on display, but I don't know, like, I haven't got the room to do that anymore. So, yeah, I'm full digital now too,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that comes from just using Steam a lot, I guess. But
that's true.
So, look, there was a poll that was done by Push Square and people, they were basically asked, do you think the PS5 Pro is too expensive? And people, 60% said yes, it's an absurd price point. And then 29% said, yeah, it's too expensive. And then, you know, the rest was, it's hard to say until I see more. You know, so yeah, basically 5% of people said that. 4% said, no, I think the price is okay. And 3% said, no, it's going to be well worth the cost. So, yeah.
Cap, what do you think of these customizable colors that you can see, mate, of these consoles? Did you like that? Think that's cool?
I actually did quite like that. I thought they looked pretty cool. So you can get, so as you part of the,
if you haven't seen them, there's these Chroma collection of consoles, and it's kind of like, well, do you know, if you don't know,
the covers, Chroma aren't they?
Yeah, like they're the covers, but they're like kind of blue purple, but they change with whatever way you're kind of looking at them.
They kind of remind me of, like, you know, in Need for Speed Underground, you can get like those like weird pearlescent chrome like paint jobs on your cars. It kind of looks like that. But yeah, they look pretty sick in my opinion. But
they do actually look pretty cool. Yeah. I do like that.
So they've got the PS5 covers for the Pro as well, I believe. And you can also buy a matching color for the DualSense wireless controller. So there you go. Now, where are we, Grizz? October's PlayStation monthly games are going to be WWE 2K24. Doki Doki Literature Club, which is a fucking
Played those yet, dude. Isn't that like a fucking horror anime game or something?
Dude,
the one I'm thinking of.
Man, Doki Doki is wild. It's like a dating thing, but then it just goes unhinged very quickly. But then it gets really creepy. There's some weird shit that happens. I don't want to say too much because it kind of ruins the game. But there's things in that game that happens that I don't know how you're going to do that on a PS5 or a console, because...
Oh, really?
It breaks the fourth wall.
What do you mean? It's a video game.
I know, but that's all I can say without ruining the game is, like, there's some shit that happens that makes you go,
like, it's someone enters my room or something and starts talking to me.
Yes. Look, not far off. Like, it's fucking hectic.
My dog Kevin just starts... having a yar.
Exactly. You got to put this thing on your dog's collar and then, so you're going to get that and you're also going to get Dead Space. I think I copped Dead Space somewhere else recently. Is that coming to Game Pass or something? But, I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, I'm just going to tell you because you don't need to play this game. There's one point where I can't remember exactly what happens, but basically you go into the game files and there's all these notes that's been left in your game files by one of the people that you're fucking dating. And it is like, it's hectic. It's kind of like, I remember when that happened, I was like, oh, this is fucking weird. I actually got like tingles thinking about it.
Does it tell you to do that? Does it tell you to go and look in the game files or?
Yeah, it kind of implies it. And I can't remember exactly the reason you end up going in there. But yeah, there's all these text files in there with like shit that had happened. And I was just like,
dang, that's
this
fucking
is
cool, man.
Fucked. But yeah, so I don't know how to do that.
I wonder whether those text files are in there when you install the game or whether they get put in there when you reach that point of the game.
I think they just get generated as you go. So, you know, because from memory, there were some things in those files that were dependent on like decisions I made, stuff in the game. And yeah, like. There's other things that happen where, like, the main character, from memory, and maybe I'm talking out my ass, but, like, the character is, like, mega possessive of you and then tries to, like, overwrite your save file as well. Like, just all this shit happens. It's crazy. Like,
that's cool, dude.
It's a cool game. Really cool game. Because, I mean, on the surface, it just looks like a really lame, like, you know, anime dating.
It's like an anime
thing.
Dating game, yeah.
But like,
I remember watching people stream it when it first came out and saw some stuff, and it's just like some pretty wacky shit happens.
Yeah, it's pretty cray-cray. So there you go. Now, also, Alan Wake 2 is getting a expansion, which is pretty cool. So there's a new eerie location in Cauldron Lake. You're going to be doing a bunch of stuff for the FBC, which is the Federal Bureau of Control. Looks pretty cool. They also released some footage of a game called Arcade Chronicles, which kind of looks like the Black Desert Online engine and just like an RPG strapped to it, like a, you know, like a single player RPG.
Looks quite cool, dude.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good.
Like Does look like Black Desert, doesn't it? Big time.
I think it is by the same developers if it's the one I'm thinking of. But yeah, so there you go. I'm going to skip over a couple of these because, I mean, oh man, I've got to be honest. I don't know. Like, everyone seems to be getting real fucking excited about this Dragon Age game. I reckon it looks like fucking shit. Looks fucking boring.
Really?
I think it looks fucking average as hell. So anyways, maybe I'll...
You're pretty good at preempting shit. Actually, I'm looking at it now, Cap, and I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, everyone was like, man, this is the Dragon Age I've been waiting for. And I was like, it looks like a very dumbed down, you know, like one of those, like, trying to think, it almost reminded me of like ESO Online in the way that it gives you abilities and stuff, but then it's like just didn't have any of the MMO stuff going for it, which is kind of the whole idea of why you kind of can simplify the combat a little bit. So I don't know. I thought it looked pretty average. Now, Dynasty Warriors is getting some stuff coming. Not super interested in that. Fantasia Neo Dimension, don't know what that is. Fear the Spotlight, some random horror game. We're getting a freaking Fortnite controller. Now, Hell is Us is a brand new game coming to PS5, Grizz. It is very interesting looking. Have you seen the trailer for this?
Hell is Us? No, I have not. No.
Right. So the way I'm going to pitch this to you is imagine Death Stranding mixed with Stranger Things without the kind of like, less so the like 80s aesthetic and kind of like humor, but more so just kind of the feel of an atmosphere, and then mix that with like a Soulsborne effectively.
Oof. So sounds pretty good to me, Capo.
Pretty interesting. It's got a lot of similar weird elements, but there's kind of like this paranormal stuff, and your character seems to have like one of these little weird over-the-back things that, you know, the character in Death Stranding has.
Cap, did you play Soul Reaver back in the day, mate?
I didn't play Soul Reaver, but...
Legacy of Kain?
Yep.
Games?
Legacy of Kain.
Play those, yep. Yes.
Are you pretty keen for this, the announcement of this 1 and 2 remaster?
1 and 2 remaster. I can't remember when these first came out, but it must have been early on. They were good games, dude. So this could be interesting to see a remaster. But
and it seems like the remaster's done a really good job of, you know, like upscaling everything and making it look real schmicko. A lot of improvements like camera upgrades, you know, the way that
still
the game
looks
kind of
shit,
handles.
Though. Let's be honest.
It still looks like freaking garbage. But
you're trying to be nice about it. It still looks shit.
I mean, it's hard because, like, I suppose you kind of have to try and bridge this gap between
around a remaster and a remake, right?
Yeah.
So they've obviously kept the same engine and stuff. They've just kind of done things to make it look a bit prettier.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, like some of the new enemy models and stuff are like pretty big improvements. Like it's, you can see some of those comparison shots. Like some of the bosses are literally like, I don't know, they're like small indie game kind of level graphics, which not in the sense that like it's more so, you know, when you get those games that come out more recently and they kind of try and go for like the old PS2 aesthetic, but then they give kind of like the, you know, they kind of that level. So I think it looks pretty good. Like, it's kind of nice to see them remaster it in this way because I guess they're probably never going to remake the games per se, but, you know, kind of getting this stage. I mean, it looks pretty cool. So I think people are pretty stoked with it. I'm going to skip over a couple of these. It looks like Metro Awakening's getting a PSVR release or something. Now, a big announcement that everyone's getting pretty jazzed about, Grizz, is that Power World is coming to PS5. And this is amid Power World having had received a massive, basically been served legal terms by the Pokemon company.
Fuck. Cap, all those people that were hating on us about us saying they were going to get sued? Yeah.
Yeah, well, look it's...
No, they are getting sued, aren't they?
They are indeed. Yes, they're definitely getting sued. Now, the interesting thing is, what are they getting sued for? We're not entirely sure. So we don't know exactly what the terms of the suing is, but recent kind of like people have been trying to like stitch together like what it might be. And so people think it's probably less likely the similarities in design of the PALs and probably the fact that in the last 5 or so years, the Nintendo company patented the idea of using a ball to capture an animal as a design element.
I hate that. It's crazy. I hate being able to patent game elements, dude. That just doesn't seem right to me.
Correct. So it's more...
Also, like, another fact to you, Capo. Nintendo have never lost a lawsuit. So...
No. Yeah, well, they've got a lot of money, and that's how you generally tend to win lawsuits these days, is it's not whether you deserve to win. It's whether you've got enough... It's like a war of attrition. You know what I mean? Mm. You just fucking out-survive the other person, and then eventually, like, they just give up because they can't afford to continue legal battles. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where this one goes, but I don't think so. From what I understand, you know, obviously, you know, patents, it's a completely different ball game. It's not like copyright infringement or whatever, but so I don't think in certain countries it will be super enforceable from what I understand and people kind of talking about on Twitter and all the rest of it. People seem to think that in America this just won't stick, but in Japan it might be pretty rough. So, because, I mean, also there's going to be a lot of Japanese company bias as well. So, yeah, especially for IP of a Japanese game, which, you know, is what it is, so... Kind of shit for Power World, but yeah, anyways.
Dang, dude.
There you freaking go. Now, Stellar Blade is getting a DLC, and I think it just makes the main character look like the protagonist from Nier Automata, so there you go. There is a couple other bits and pieces. Where are we? Sonic X Shadow Generations, some random shit, and then Towers of Agzbasa. Isn't that that game that you were really keen on, Grizz? Maybe I'm talking
shit. I can't remember.
The vibrant, gorgeous open-world adventure Towers of Agzbasa provides
looking
a first
at it,
look.
It does look quite nice, but I don't remember being super excited about it.
It kind of just...
That's good, though.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool, actually. I think it looks like... it looks a little bit like...
there's fishing in it.
Yeah, it's kind of got like, it's like if Ark was crossed with Shadow of the Colossus.
Dude, it looks fucking weird, doesn't it?
Yeah,
dude,
it looks really
weird.
Maybe
I have seen this and thought it was cool. Yeah, it does ring a bell.
Yeah, I feel like this was one that you picked out when it was first announced. But anyways, it looks pretty rad. Mm. It's kind of crossed with a, you know, a little bit of Breath of the Wild for traversal
and
stuff.
Yeah, the floating around.
Yep. You're kind of doing like, what's that freaking game? It's almost got the, I can't think of it. It's almost like Stardew, I guess, with all the, you know, farming and stuff, but and that's in 3D. Anyways, crazy.
Looks cool.
Crazy.
Yep. Looks pretty good.
But yeah, dude, that was pretty much...
Looks pretty good.
That was pretty much the entire state of play. So there you freaking go.
Cap, our stream's been up for an hour, by the way, mate. I don't know what we're looking like in fucking podcast time, but
I think we're going to probably go through the... Oh, well, we've talked about PlayStation 5 Pro. And I think we'll go through the Nintendo Direct that happened recently, and then I think we'll talk about our games and then probably skip Rapid Fire because I don't think there's any point.
Fuck it off. Sounds good to me, mate.
So let's do that.
Done.
All right, Grizzly Gaming 86. There was also a Nintendo Direct over that same time. I'm just attempting to open the thing, but I'm being redirected by Google.com. Here we go. All right, let's go in. I'm going to just pick some out of here, Grizz, because,
Look, I've seen your list of the ones you want to talk about, then I've added a couple that I wanted to just quickly touch on at the end of that.
Yep, absolutely.
So, but looking good, mate. Looking good. Nice.
So the first thing I'm going to do is talk about Balatro, because Balatro got a reveal for the Switch, which I think was rad. And they timed this nicely because I think everyone downloaded it. And then they – so part of this was also to say, hey, guys, guess what? There's some DLC coming. That's coming everywhere. So Balatro's
– as well, Cap. Free DLC.
Free. So yeah, it's available. So that's pretty freaking cool. Now the DLC is Joker's theme with some of our favorite franchises such as The Witcher, Vampire Survivors. What was the other ones? There was also Dave the Diver and also Among Us themed Jokers, which I still haven't had a chance to give it a crack. But one thing I wanted to talk about, Grizz, is because in the last week or so, Balatro has come to mobile as well.
Dang, that's cool, dude. I'd consider getting it on mobile. Does it have crossplay? Do you know? Does it
have crossplay? No, you've got to start again.
That kind of sucks, but
yeah. But still fun to have it on your phone. So I bought it today, and I think this DLC is available on your phone as well. So if you have it to start again, happy days. Otherwise, you're going to go on freaking, you know, you probably won't be happy to start again.
Yep.
So there you go. Now, there's another game here called Neva, N-E-V-A, and this kind of has a it was from the creators of the team that did Grizz, spelled G-R-I-S, not you, not your mum and dad. Your mum and dad didn't make this game. But, so it's a really interesting looking kind of platformer thing. You play as a person that has like a fox, I think, and you kind of are commanding yourself and the fox to do stuff, or a wolf, and you've got a sword. But the art style is beautiful, gorgeous. It's kind of like this.
Grizz was much loved, wasn't it, Cap? People rated that game, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot of it was for the amazing artwork. So you know, they kind of carry
this
on their
legacy.
This
looks pretty awesome too, I will say.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
It is really, really nice. Yeah, kind of like that soft kind of silhouette kind of thing going on with like color. Yeah, it's very hard to describe the kind of the aesthetic, but it's worth a check out. So there you go.
Yep.
Now another game that came out as part of this Grizz was a game called Moth Cubit. Now this is a very weird, bizarre looking game, but it kind of reminds me of a mix between Earthbound and like a WarioWare game, because there's all these like little weird mini games going on. But basically you're this moth person working in this mega corporation, and you're like, there's weird things going on at the mega corporation. You got to figure out why, you know, people go missing or some shit and uncover these secrets. And it's kind of got a similar art style to, like Earthbound or like Undertale kind of. And it looks interesting.
It gave me big Undertale vibes, Cap, for sure.
Yeah, definitely a bit of Undertale in there.
Looks pretty funny.
That looks really, really cool. Now, this game, Grizz, I am exceptionally keen for, is called Morsels. It's a top-down roguelike with a rotating roster of playable characters that you can switch between and play multiple runs. So, the art style, I can't even describe it, but it reminds me of some of those kind of late SNES games that came out, and they kind of just had this particular look. It looks amazing, pixel art. But then they've kind of
really
got, like,
loved the music as well, Capo, that they had alongside this trailer. I thought it was pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's really, really rad. So kind of got the whole roguelike thing going on. It's almost in the vein of Binding of Isaac, I guess, but not quite the same.
Gave me big Binding of Isaac / Undermine vibes, where you got this top down, looks like quite snappy movement of your character, Cap. You can see some bosses and other bits and pieces. Looks to be like there's a shop mechanic in there as well, which makes me think that there's probably maybe soft progression outside of each run, but looks really, really interesting. I like the look of it.
Yeah, and it kind of follows that classic roguelite, indie roguelite thing during like run for run, where you're obviously maybe finishing levels and then getting an option of a couple of different cards, and you choose what you kind of want to go with. And it looks really neat. The art style is just phenomenal. I'm really, really keen on that. They kind of bridge.
I wonder whether
it
comes
stuff
to PC, Cap, Morsels. I wonder. Coming Feb 25, so early next year.
Yeah, I think this is going to be bloody excellent. A cool thing is, like, every now and then it looks like the game kind of changes like art style to like this weird plasticine-y, like kind of, I don't know, it just looks weird. It looks fucking crazy. Definitely worth a look. So go and check it out. Now, one thing that also came out, Grizz. It actually came out of open beta or whatever it's called. What do they call that, Grizz? Why can't I think of the name of it?
Yeah, that's right. Beta, alpha. What?
Beta, alpha.
Early release.
Kickstarter. Kickstarter, not Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of the name? There's a fucking name for it. What do they call it when the game's not out yet? Guys, what the hell?
Beta, right? Like Dota's still in beta, apparently.
Fair. I can't think of the world. Unreleased. There's a name for it. Anyways, doesn't matter. Early access. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Early access. I can't believe I couldn't think of that word. Anyways, all right. So remember that game Peggle where you like fire the little ball out and you like these kind of bounce between stuff? Imagine if that game had a full RPG system behind it and you used the Peggle game to deal damage and heal and all the rest of it in a medieval RPG capacity. Well, guess what, Grizz? I've got the game for you. It's called Peglin.
Kat, I'm pretty sure Peglin has been out on Steam for freaking ages.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. It's out of early access.
Oh, it's out of early access. Yeah, I actually own this game, dude, and I've sunk.
Hey, I've
got it in my library. Yeah, I just put some hours into this. I've got like 6 or 7 hours. Nope, I lied. I've got 2 hours. But game is fun.
I mean, you did sink some hours.
I sunk some hours. It does have rogue-like aspects in it as well.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. So you shoot. You choose where you want to shoot your ball down.
It's like a pachinko machine.
Fucking cool, though. Yeah, yeah. And you like get like upgrades to deal more damage and different bits and pieces.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool idea for a game. It's going quite well on Steam, so worth a bit of a look-a-reno. Now, that was kind of the main ones that I pulled out of here, Grizz. Was there anything that you wanted to look at in particular?
Yes. So Sea of Stars has DLC coming, Cap. Which I know that was pretty popular with some people. I didn't finish it myself, but that new DLC is free to play. You'll get it if you have the game. It includes new characters, new areas, new dungeons, and some new free story content. So I thought that was pretty cool. The other one is there's some more Shovel Knight content coming. There is a release called Shovel Knight DX. It enriches the original game with an additional 20 playable characters, seamless online multiplayer, and a bunch of other stuff introduced in the game as well. So Shovel Knight, I really enjoyed that release. I got it on Steam. It's a very good, fun little platformer that has some very light RPG mechanics as well. So if Shovel Knight's up your alley, I thought that's something cool to check out for sure.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Yeah, no, looks pretty cool.
Those are the two main ones for me, though, Capo.
Yeah, I think the other game that looked kind of cool. Did you talk about Pico Park? Did you talk about that one?
No, I didn't. No, didn't talk about that. No.
So Pico Park is this game where it's a 2D action kind of puzzle game, and you can play with 2 to 8 players. And the whole idea is that you need to work together to like solve all the puzzles. And so, like with 8 people, it's like pretty hectic. But you kind of like got to. It's like a side-scrolling kind of, thing, and you have these little weird-looking characters and, they can stand on each other's heads to try and reach, higher areas and stuff. So that looks like a bit of fun. That looks like a bit of fun. So there you freaking go. All right, Grizz, now I think we're going to skip the WooCon thing because I'll probably briefly just talk about that in my house, my gaming going. Same with Deadlock. But I think what we will just quickly cover is the fact that Concord – in the time that we were in hiatus, it came out and then was cancelled.
That is fucking wild, dude.
It's crazy. Like,
now, people that don't know, because it could have been us, maybe they went on a holiday, Cap, and they don't know about Concord. Give it to me. What is it? It is like it's an Overwatch like, right?
It was basically an Overwatch. Yeah, kind of hero based shooter. And
PlayStation exclusive, right?
It was a PlayStation exclusive. I can't remember who was developing the game, but it's been in development for a fair while, and kind of had like a bit of a Guardians of the Galaxy aesthetic, and we gave it a heap of shit because we thought it kind of, you know, was a bit shit. And yeah. Guess what?
Well, obviously its original wasn't that trailer great. That they had for it, Cap, I don't know if you remember, but it was like a CGI thing where they tried to build a bunch of lore and rapport with the characters and everything else. It didn't show a single bit of gameplay. In fact, yep. We knew nothing about that game after that trailer, and both you and I were like, it just seemed a little bit weird. Like,
yeah,
I understand a CGI trailer maybe coming from World of Warcraft or something where you've already got that lore of those characters and you're already invested in some of that story. But fresh off the bat, it just didn't hit quite right at the time.
Yeah, didn't a lot of the like the humor as well was pretty forced and yeah, I just think it was pretty average. And so, anyways, obviously the game came out at a, you know, I can't remember the exact price point, but I think it would have been about 60 to 70 Australian US dollars. Australian dollars.
Yeah.
60 bucks. And this is, you know, this is in a stream of video gaming that tends to be free to play. So didn't sell very well. I believe like on its first day, I think they maybe had like something ridiculous, like a couple of thousand like concurrent players or something pathetic. And yeah, it just did not do particularly well. And then pretty much, you know, within the weeks leading after, they basically said, look, we're going to be pulling this one down and we'll let you know what we're going to be doing with this moving forward. So
it's crazy, man. There's a couple of articles out there that estimate how much money this game cost to make because it was fully voice acted and they invested a lot of time, obviously, because there was apparently quite a large bits of lore in the game you could explore, Cap. There was like a journal that you could kind of unlock entries for, and you know they tried to really build this universe around a game that didn't have the lore set in the game. But you know, there's some estimates in there that it was around $400 million to make over its 8-year life cycle in wages and man, voice acting and everything else to make this game that literally was on the shelves for what, a month, 2 weeks, yeah, less.
That's fucking bonkers. I think I would be really surprised if they are not working on it to be free to play. Like, I would be absolutely gobsmacked if they're just willing to take that as a cut, because I think, you know, obviously it'd be a fair bit of work retrofitting it to get it ready for free to play. But I just don't see how they couldn't do it. And
yeah, why couldn't they do that and then release stuff through microtransactions? But the thing is, Cap, like, I don't know. To me, the actual gameplay, and from what I've read, it didn't really reinvent anything. It didn't give players a reason to play the game. So even if it's free to play, are people going to play it? I don't know. I know that after its release and people weren't buying it, Cap, I remember seeing a Twitter post and they were selling it for $5 out the front of JB and EB Games trying to sell copies of this thing.
Absolutely bonkers, you know? Isn't it? Just trying to get some poor sucker to buy this game that you can't play. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, look, it's obviously completely shit the bed. I still can't look, maybe we'll never hear about it ever again. Maybe not. But I'd be really surprised if we don't see it go free to play. The other thing is, Grizz, like, I can't remember. I think it might have been the Summer Games Fest or something, but there was TV show that was announced that was basically the people who did Love, Death and Robots on Netflix, and they're doing episodes of this animated thing, but each episode is like a different game. And so like they've got God of War, I think they've got like maybe I think they've got Warhammer 40K and some other games. They're doing like episodes of these games to kind of like show off, you know, their animation and all the rest of it. But one of the games in that was Concord.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck. Well, are you still going to do that? Are you still going to do that?
Well, Llama's in here saying Sony's flagship game to help propel the PS5 Pro didn't even last the Pro announcement, which is so true. Look, I'm sure they had a lot of intentions. Eggs riding in this basket and good intentions. But yeah, I believe the you've already touched on this, Cap, but the active player count was, I thought it was in the hundreds, so I thought it was less than 1,000. On launch.
I think looking at this, I think the concurrent Steam was 700 on launch day, and it only got worse from there. So, pretty freaking rough. But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It's just one of those.
Yeah, and look, they talk about, I think the biggest thing here was So apparently this game's been in development for 8 years, and the business model that they applied was based on Overwatch, which was popular at the time, which is a $60 price tag on a game like this. When, you know, today it seems the monetization models that are working are a free-to-play game, and then you've got monetization around skins and other bits and pieces that you buy in the game.
Yeah, I think it's one of these things where these big companies just aren't poised to be able to capitalize on a new idea quick enough.
I think that's it, hey? You put your eggs in that basket and you've almost got to just...
Oh, look, this Overwatch game's pretty popular. Let's make one of those games. It's only going to take us fucking 7 years to make it. By the time you finish that project, people have moved on to the next big thing, you know what I mean? And they've forgotten about hero-based shooters. I mean... Look, there's, you know, and we'll talk about Deadlock, but, you know, there's some other examples of recent ones that have been, you know, a bit of a, you know, like a success. But, you know, if you just can't iterate enough on it to the point where you're providing a product that is actually interesting and giving people something new to experience, I mean, people just aren't going to really give a shit unless you can pump it out as quickly as possible after that first lightning strike moment with another game. You know what I mean? It just wasn't, it's not quick enough.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about Deadlock, Cap? We've got time to talk about Deadlock?
Yeah, 100%. I think what we're going to do now, Grizz, is I'm going to play this thing, and I want you to tell me, Grizzly Game 86, how's your gaming?
Do you want me to start, mate, or what? All right.
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
I'm going to lean back in my chair. Oh.
Lean back, Cap. Relax. Yeah, put your feet back up. Wow, I actually thought about grabbing a tequila to sip on for tonight, but I just literally ran out of time. I walked through the door, ate some Nando's, and I have not even said hello to my kids yet since I've been home from work. Yeah. That's how fucking bad that is.
I walked in the door and made a beef stroganoff, but anyways.
Did you? Shit, that's pretty good, mate.
Well, I belted it out. It was really good.
Cap, I have been playing some video gaming, which has been great here and there.
Oh yeah, brother.
Very casually, mind you. But my Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough, Cap, is still going for honor mode. Deathless.
Damn. Shit. Yeah. So where are you at now?
We are in the final act now. We're all max level.
What have you done in the final act?
We just killed the dragon under the prison.
Oh, shit. How was that as a fight? Because that was
fucking hectic.
Yes.
In fact, the only reason why we passed that fight was I had just got the spell for my wizard, which is the Globe of Invulnerability. Because he does this thing where he goes into phase two in, I don't know whether this is the same in normal, but in honor mode. In honor mode, every time you attack him, he reacts once per his turn and does this big AoE lightning. Then when you get him down to a certain threshold, he flies up in the air and starts channeling this big fucking area of effect thing that just wipes you. So...
Holy shit.
Did you have this Globe of Invulnerability, Cap, when you played or not? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I had scrolls of it.
So the thing with wizards is you can only get it in scroll form, but with wizards you can learn from scrolls. So my wizard has been able to learn it. Gale, I've been able to learn Globe of Invulnerability.
It's a fucking broken spell.
Yeah, you put it on you and it's a concentration spell and anything in it is invulnerable. And I mean anything. So much. How funny is this, dude? We had two of our party members that got downed. So I was like, yeah, this is sick. I'm going to put a Globe of Invulnerability on them and then throw a potion at them so that I would revive them. Well, the potion is invulnerable when it enters the Globe of Invulnerability, so it doesn't break. So it didn't heal them. Fucking landed on the floor.
God, that's crazy. I remember using that spell in, scroll form for the final battle and my character was partially, the tentacle person. And then I just got them to drink a haste potion and they just zipped across to the very end and then dropped the invulnerability down and then basically finished the fight in three moves.
Yeah, it's very strong. I personally think, I don't know what the last few encounters are because honor mode adds all these crazy fucking things to the fights and the bosses get legendary reactions, but I feel like we're through the worst of it now. Like, we've had moments that have like definitely been touch and go, and, you know, we've had a couple of fights where there's one person left in the party with no hit points and able to clutch something out. But yeah, I actually do honestly feel like it will be one of the top gaming achievements for me. So it's,
dude, that's cool, man. And you'll have the golden dice to show it.
We'll get the golden dice, mate, not modded into the game. Well, who knows? I will endeavor to finish it. I think maybe two sessions left to finish the game.
Wow.
We'll see how we go.
That's so exciting, dude.
It's pretty wicked. Cool. Cap, the other thing I've been doing is I've been playing Diablo 4 again. Pick that game back up because, well, actually, it's because I saw Mikey has been playing it, and essentially on the 8th of October, I thought it could be something good for the run sheet, but it's too fucking late. The Diablo 4 DLC drops, as well as alongside the new season.
Is it
the
next
8th
week?
Of October. Next week, yeah.
Shit. This, like, literally a week from today.
I'll actually be away, unfortunately, offshore, so I won't be able to play till I return. But on release of that, it's a new character, as well as a new region and a bunch of new story, as well as a fresh new season, I think. Now, if you, like many, play Diablo 4 on release and looking for an excuse to get back into the game, I actually have been quite enjoying replaying it because there's a bunch of stuff they've done that make playing season a little more rewarding. An example of that is if you log into your old softcore character when the season starts, it'll unlock all the statues of Lilith and all the reputation on the seasonal character, so you don't have to re-go and do all that. It also has seasonal leaderboards. They finally got this up and running. So the late game, there is a leaderboard system tied to your region as well, plus Sick. The new content that's coming. So I'm actually quite looking forward to jumping into that. My clan is still up and running, so if you want to return or if you want to join, you're more than welcome to come and join me.
Let's
just hit me up on Discord or Twitter or something, and you can come and join us. But yeah, so that's Cap, I don't know if you remember, dude, but I only played exclusively hardcore when the game dropped.
Yes.
And my character died, and I was like, nah, fuck it. So for me to prep for a softcore character in the next DLC, I've had to level one of those up. So I've got a level 60 druid that I've been just kind of cruising along playing. I've unlocked all the statues of Lilith and all the reputation stuff in the region. So I'm pretty much ready to go for the season drop, which is cool. And
yeah,
I'll look forward to playing that on the 8th, mate.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah, well, I think you also get it free on Game Pass now. So, I mean, if people want to give it a crack as well, I think it's Game Pass available. So, yeah.
Pretty cool, mate. That's interesting, Cap. I do wonder about Diablo 4 because I know that for Diablo 3, it was quite a slow burn for people to start playing that game, especially the seasons. But I think it was one of those games for me in the end that every now and then I'd be like, hey, I'm going to play this season. I'll jump in and I'll level a character up and do the seasonal journey and fuck around in there. So, you know, I'm hoping that eventually Diablo 4 gets there. I know when I first played it was a bit hollow, but maybe through time, looks like they've already implemented leaderboard system and other bits and pieces that might bring me back in. So see how it goes. Yeah.
Very, very freaking rad, dude. Any other video games, mate?
Only Dota, which I've been playing since the international a little bit with some friends, just slowly just, you know, playing that, having a good time. Always a good fun PvP experience. But that's pretty much it, Cap. But I haven't touched my Steam Deck for a while, and I am looking to download some new games on that before I go away offshore next week. So if anyone in chat or yourself, Cap, have got any good recommendations for games that I haven't played on the Steam Deck, let me know.
All right. Well, I can let you know right now if you like.
Go. How's your gaming going, Cap? Give it to me, mate, and let me know, please.
All right. So I played a lot of different video games since, you know, in 3 months. You know, I know I talk about how I don't really have much time to game, and I don't, but I try and squeeze as much as I possibly can in here and there, and I still am pretty interested in playing some random games.
Lying in your bed. On your back with your fucking headset on. That is, I need to see a photo of this, Cap. That is
I need to get a photo of me doing it. But for my birthday, I got a Meta Deck 3. And what's it called? Not a, is that what? A Meta. What the fuck's it called? Like a Meta Quest 3, not a Meta Deck.
Meta Quest.
I'm tired. So I got a Meta Quest 3, and so I've been playing some random stuff on there. Like I downloaded Half-Life 3 Alyx, and I've been streaming that from my PC onto my my Quest 3, and that's been amazing. Sweet. Really, really cool. Playing some native experiences on there as well, just some games that you can get through there. But one of the things I've been doing is I've been streaming my desktop computer through my headset and using a wireless keyboard and mouse in bed and playing games. So just to give you an idea of a couple of things I've been doing is I recently bought the new WoW expansion and I've been giving that a real crackerino. And I've been playing that
just
partially.
Quickly, Cap, just quickly before you jump into this. Does the Meta Quest have headphones?
Yes.
Okay, it does. If Mia talks to you, can you hear it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's like open ear headphones. It's quite cool, actually. Yeah, that's so you can still hear.
WoW expansion. Are you doing some mythics or
not yet? I've just been making my way through the quest line so far, and there's a lot to do because I tend to do the completionist, do absolutely every single quest line I can see when it comes to the new WoW expansion. So. I've been slowly making my way through there. Basically what I've been doing is I've been streaming my desktop computer to my headset and playing WoW in bed on my headset with a wireless keyboard and mouse, and it is pretty bloody good, might I say. May I say?
Is there any lag, dude? Is there any lag doing that?
Look, bugger all. Like, you can definitely go and do your dailies. I probably wouldn't do, like, raiding or anything on my headset in bed, but definitely good enough to go and just do some quests, go and knock some stuff out, you know, pretty low key stuff. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I've been really enjoying the WoW expansion. It's been pretty cruisy. I can't see myself doing any major mythics or raiding or anything. I think I'm probably just going to finish the quest line and I'll probably put it down until I can be bothered picking it back up again. So
I thought, dude, that I would like to play some WoW again. I kind of like the idea of just slowly working through some mythics and fucking around in keys and doing shit.
Yeah, I think I had that intention as well, but now I've just got all this random shit on the go where I'm kind of like, I probably would like to go and maybe knock a few of these things off. So to kind of wind this all the way back is Black Myth Wukong came out in that time and I progressed a reasonable amount of the way through that. That game has been a lot of fun. Definitely less Soulsborne than I expected it to be. It's probably a little bit closer to God of War, but with a bit of, like, there's a bit more of a difficulty curve there. So, but it feels good. It's very linear, but it still feels pretty good. So if you're into something along those lines, I can highly recommend a bit of Black Myth Wukong. Now, the other thing I played along this 3 month hiatus, I downloaded Deadlock and gave that a bit of a crack. Now, this is that new Valve shooter game that's kind of like a mix between like a hero-based shooter, Dota. It's really fucking good, and I wish I had more time to play this game and just a bit more like brain power after work to play competitive games. I just don't at the moment.
Valve have got the recipe cap, and they've applied it to an Overwatch-like game, and I think they've also done a very good job, Cap, at managing this pre-release cycle. So it's not like the game isn't just available for you to go and play, right? They're doing it in periods.
Yeah.
So you can only play the game during a certain period in a certain region. There's only select keys, although I think it's quite easy to get a key. But it seems to have built quite a hype around it. Streamers playing it on Twitch and other bits and pieces and seems to be very well received so far.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be doing really well. So, my time with it, I've been really enjoying the heroes and like getting a feel for the game. I've been tending to sort of trend towards the more kind of like tankier heroes, it's a really interesting feeling game. I think with a little bit more balance and stuff, it's going to be an absolute ripper. And I just think the game is ingenious because it has a lot of similar mechanics to what Dota does, you know, with the, last hitting and securing your creeps and then also like your kind of like creep and gold economy that you garner from creeps and that is so important for making sure that you buy items because there's a full item, shop as well. And those items also, you know, you can purchase items tactically to deal with certain enemies and or certain ways of playing. It's really cool because that kind of extension isn't really available in any other shooters that I'm aware of, especially when it comes to hero-based stuff. It's kind of like you play a hero to counter another hero. You don't have that option to kind of build or buy out of a tricky situation. So the game, I think, is phenomenal. I'm really keen to get back in once it leaves alpha, I think. I think once it kind of has a bit more time to stew and we kind of get to like an open, it's done kind of thing. Not done, but, you know, I'm sure it'll hit a point where it's like, you know, because they haven't even got hats or anything in there yet, so you can't buy skins and stuff for your character. So once I think they start hitting that point, I think that's when it's going to be good.
One of the biggest things that I've noticed, Cap, is it seems to cater to a very wide range of skill sets. It seems like people are able to jump in and have a good time with it, and maybe the matchmaking's done correctly. And then you watch people that have a in-depth knowledge on how Dota or a MOBA works and that are playing high skill games, and it seems quite tactical around, you know, creep equilibrium and which items to buy when and what items you should plan and builds and everything else.
Yeah.
So it seems to have done a pretty good job at, you know, providing for that entry zero experience with MOBAs, maybe played some shooters and playing and enjoying it, and as well as as well as catering to the others.
And so, I think that's also what, like, I kind of forgot to mention earlier and I kind of started to elaborate on but never got to the point, was that this game's ingenious because it gives you the parts of Dota that then will make the rest of Dota feel familiar, but then presents it in a way that's probably a little bit more palatable and understandable to begin with, or at least presents it in a way that, like, you know, because a lot of people play shooters, so it's easy to get people to play a shooter than it would be to get them to play Dota. But it's almost like the perfect stepping stone into Dota because it's giving you an entry point into understanding last hits, understanding equilibrium, buying, you know, buying weapons and or whatever to, you know, counter heroes and you know, playing as a team and understanding that you don't really have as much, what's the word? You don't have as much sway over the game without good economy and items until you hit that
good
point.
Good item choices. Yeah,
exactly. So the pace of the game is completely different.
As your knowledge grows around the heroes and what they can do and then what heroes you've got on your team and even what role you're playing in the game, it will change your choice around what you're buying and how you're itemizing. It's crazy. I think it could be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it looks to be fantastic. Do we know when do we've got a time frame, Cap, for full release, or are we just kind of
I think full release, I haven't heard much at all. I would imagine probably, I would say probably first quarter, mid next year. Feels like it's probably a fair way away. I think they got a bit of work to do, but I might be wrong there. I don't know. Like, I think they just released a new character. At least there was a character I saw someone playing it, and I thought, who the fuck's that?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe maybe they're closer than we think. Just do a quick Google. When will Deadlock get a full release?
Bang. I agree, Lava. And I think that's the beauty of this being a Valve game. I personally feel like the way that Valve manages the economy / money making for Dota 2 is, I think that's pivotal. So, you know, there's no pay to win, obviously. The game is very well balanced, but the hats and other bits and pieces available to buy in that game and the treasures, and there's almost like, well, they're not, it's not Battle Pass, but it's called the compendiums for the international, and how they fund the prize pool for competitive esports in that scene. I feel like the monetization for Deadlock is in pretty safe hands, being a Valve game.
Absolutely agreed.
I think that's pretty cool.
So anyways, Deadlock is sick. Really, really cool. I really want to get back into it once I think it's had a bit more time to cook, because I just don't, like, I kind of want to jump in when it's a bit more fleshed out, because I don't really have enough time to play it as it is. But I've had a lot of fun with it. So Now, the other game I played, Grizz, was I downloaded Warhammer 40K Space Marine. And then I loaded it up and I was like, man, this game looks like shit. What the fuck? And then I realized, dude, I downloaded the first one.
So I was on Steam and I did the old, oh, Cap's playing game. What the fuck's he playing? Right clicked on it. Yeah. I was like, man, this game's from like fucking 2021 or something else, maybe even earlier.
Yeah, so it was like 2010.
How long did you play it for until you realized that it was?
I loaded in and I was like, shouldn't there be a two there? Yeah, so I realized what I'd done. But I did, because it was trippy, because I bought it and then I went in to find it in my list, and because I don't have like all my games showing, I have like just show me the ones I can play. So I had to type in Space Marine, and then I did it from my phone because I was in bed and I couldn't be bothered going to my computer. And I had my computer on, and I was like, oh, cool, I can just set it to download the game. And so I did it. Mm. And then when I came in here, like obviously on my phone, it didn't have the full, it just said Warhammer 40K Space Marine and didn't have, it was probably like Space Marine dash kind of thing. So I thought it was that one. Mm. It wasn't that one. It was the first one. Anyways, long story short, it was quite funny. But I started playing two, and that game is amazing. It's I don't even know where to go with this. It's a really interesting ballet of you've got all these hordes of enemies coming up at you, and then you're kind of trying to thin them out a little bit before they get to you, and then suddenly they're on top of you and you're sweeping through them with your sword, and then you've got these big brutes that are kind of popping in as well, and a lot of horde mode kind of stuff going on. So but the game is gorgeous. Like when you see these hordes of enemies like in the distance, it is like honestly it's awe-inspiring.
I've seen some footage someone posted of a guy just sitting in a random area and looking up, and it's like you focus on one thing and then all of a sudden you realize that there's something happening in the background and it's like a bunch of fucking things flying over. And like the attention to detail in the environment seems to be almost the best I've ever seen in any video game ever.
Yeah, it's honestly incredible. Just the way that they're able to, I don't know, just render them as well and make it look good, like because there's a lot going on with the physics of generating all those little pieces of the horde running at you, and it's really, really well done. And I think the other part of it is like all the cinematics and the cutscenes and everything that kind of, you know, leads you into missions and stuff. It's really freaking epic, you know, because I think one thing I found previously with some 40K media is like it can come off a little bit cringe, but this really, the aesthetic of it, because I mean, I also find sometimes the Space Marine kind of armor aesthetic to be a little bit like, I don't know, bionical kind of like, whatever. But when you see like a Space Marine in this game, you think, fuck, that guy is a fucking badass. And like, you feel it. Like when you're playing this game, you're sweeping through these hordes and it's really, really cool. So yeah, I've been having a real, real good time with that.
Is it single player, Cap? Co-op?
It is single player. You can play it in co-op as well. I've just been running through the campaign. So I've done the first few levels by myself. It's just been really, really good. I've been really enjoying it so much that it's made me go and watch a bunch of like 40K lore videos, and fuck, I am deep, man. I'm fucking seriously deep now. I don't think I'll ever buy anything because I just don't want to have that stuff because I just don't have space for it realistically. So, and I can't be fucked playing Warhammer, but the lore really interests me, especially certain parts of the lore. So I've been kind of reading up on this part of the lore called, the Horus Heresy, which is kind of one of the major turning points in the whole Imperium of Man thing. And that's been pretty freaking cool to listen to as I go to sleep at night. But the other part of this, Grizz, was because I'm just so into it right now, I also then ended up buying Rogue Trader on my Steam Deck, which is the Baldur's Gate kind of like game. So, you know, they call them CRPGs. So it's the 40K recent one. And that's...
Dude, what's it like on Steam Deck? Is it good?
It runs really well. really, really well.
Okay, maybe
I think
that's
I had to drop the shadows down a little bit just to make it run a little bit more buttery, but it runs really well. The graphics of the game doesn't require an awful lot because it's not a super pretty game, but if you're up for listening to a bit of 40K, just random shit going on, and the combat's pretty cool. Like, but yeah, it's really good.
Is that kind of like XCOM, kind of XCOM style kind of thing or not? Or is it more like Baldur's Gate RPG?
Sort of. I'd say it's closer to Baldur's Gate, though. It's still like a CRPG. Mm. Yeah. But it's really good so far. I'm probably not far enough into it to really give it a full kind of run over, but I quite enjoy the combat system. You got to be really careful because there's friendly fire and stuff.
Nice.
So far I'm really enjoying the whole kind of 40K aesthetic and the CRPG stuff, so it's been really fun. But yeah, Grizz, that's basically been my gaming. I've done a lot
actually, considering
I say I don't have an awful lot of time, but it's just kind of like little dribs and drabs here and there.
Bits and pieces, you know.
I kind of take what I can get, you know, it's good. But look, Grizz, I think, like, we definitely have time to do rapid fire, so I'm not going to bother. But I think that kind of is going to cover this episode.
Mate, it's been a big one. What's the time? Fucking, it's nearly 9 o'clock, Cap. Jeez.
Yeah, it's been a big one. So I think we're going to leave it there. And, just to reiterate, look, this is going to be the third last episode. We'll be giving you guys another one in November sometime, and then we'll be doing the final one in December. It's been huge. We really appreciate all you guys listening and getting around this podcast because it's been a lot of fun putting it together. Sorry. God damn. I'm not used to talking for this long. But yeah, it's going to be a real shame to put it down, but you know, it probably won't be the end. I'm sure me and Grizz will suddenly find time in our schedules once our children are a bit older and all the rest of it.
Look, maybe we just do stuff. I mean, fuck, the world is our oyster now, Cap. Maybe we can do stuff for the Game of the Year awards and other bits and pieces. Who knows? I'm still going to be streaming occasionally from my channel, really. But it's been a wild ride, mate. It's been good fun.
100 episodes, so that's huge. Well,
we didn't think it was going to.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Shedding a tear.
Yeah, little tear. But yeah, so keep an eye on our socials and stuff to know when we expect to do the next episode and then the final episode after that. But again, yeah, you're looking at one in November and then another one in December. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But look, just want to say a big thank you to our wonderful listeners. You know, go to ogr.show for all of our links. I'm doing a real half-assed with this because I've only got two more left. So, but yeah, if you want to follow us, I mean, you're welcome to, but you're not going to be getting fuck all after December. So anyways, we'll catch you guys next time. Take it easy and peace out.